This is episode number 61 with the founder and CEO of Top to Bottom Business Solutions, Chris Mallory. Welcome to the Path to Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Wes Barefoot, where it's my mission to help aspiring entrepreneurs and existing business owners take control of their lives and create freedom for themselves through business ownership. Each episode, I'll be exploring the strategies and tactics of other successful entrepreneurs that have created freedom in their own lives while sharing what I'm learning along my own path to freedom. I'm glad you're here. Let's drop in. Before we drop into the episode, a quick message from our sponsor, 919 Marketing. I've worked with 919 Marketing for years, and there's no one I trust more with my marketing needs in any of our businesses. I've worked with them in our franchise businesses, in my consulting business. I've worked with them on the franchisor side, and I love working with 919 because they take the time to listen. They take the time to understand what it is I'm looking to accomplish through my marketing, who I'm trying to reach, and then they help me put a plan together to do just that. I've worked with tons of marketing companies over the years, and too often it's a one-size-fits-all approach, but not with 919 Marketing. In addition to that, they've developed some amazing technology called 919 Insights, franchising's first and only AI-powered analytics platform. With 919 Insights in place, 919 Marketing can identify the exact topics that matter to your franchise candidates and provide the specific roadmap to help your brand become the highest ranking and most trusted resource when they're searching for answers. So if you're ready to start getting better results from your marketing, and if you want a free demo of 919 Insights, reach out to Graham Chapman at 919-459-8157 or send them an email at gchapman@919marketing.com to schedule your free demo today. So whether you're a franchisor, a franchisee, or just getting started in your first franchise business, make sure to check out 919 Marketing and tell them Wes Barefoot sent you. Now, let's drop into the episode. Hey, what's up, Path to Freedom listeners? Coming back at you with another fantastic episode. My guest this week is Chris Mallory. Chris is the founder and CEO of Top to Bottom Business Solutions, where they specialize in bookkeeping services and really beyond for their clients. They get into a lot of other services that they offer for their clients. But Chris has been helping me and my wife out with a few of our businesses with the bookkeeping. And as I've gotten to know Chris better, I knew I had to have him on the podcast. He's an expert when it comes to helping small businesses outsource critical yet time-consuming aspects of their business, such as bookkeeping. And he talks about that in this episode. He talks a lot about why it's important to make sure that you as a business owner are able to spend the majority of your time on things that are going to really move the needle for your business. And in most cases, things like bookkeeping are not going to help you move the needle in terms of being a good use of your time as the business owner. So he talks a lot about being able to scale a business and how outsourcing these types of components of the business are a critical part in being able to do that. And he gives some examples of how, you know, he's been able to scale his business, where he's got clients in 32 states, over 20 employees. And in bookkeeping, that's a business that, in many cases, bookkeepers have not scaled their business. They're kind of a one man or a one woman show in many cases. So Chris uses some great examples from his own experience and also just has some great advice to share with existing small business owners, as well as the aspiring entrepreneurs out there. So really excited to bring this episode to you. Chris is a fantastic guy, and I know you'll learn a lot from listening to him on this episode. So with that, let's go ahead and drop in with Chris Mallory. Chris, welcome to the podcast, man. I appreciate you dropping in with us.
Yeah, thank you, Wes. I appreciate you having me on. I know we've been talking about it for a while. A little bit about Top to Bottom Business Solutions. We do bookkeeping, all different aspects of bookkeeping. It's a very wide range for small to medium-sized companies, from you know, $100,000 a year companies up to multi-million-dollar a year companies. And I think what makes us special is we do different things for all of our clients. It's based on your business, your process. We don't try to reinvent the wheel. We're there to keep you on the yellow brick road. So from accounts payable to accounts receivable to giving you really good financial statements every month that you can use to guide yourself.
Yep.
That's our go-to.
Yeah. And I mean, I can say as a client, it's been easy working with you guys, and it's been, you know, to your point, kind of customizable, right? I mean, there's been some things where I said, hey, could we do this a little bit differently? And no problem. Whereas we've worked with other bookkeeping companies in the past and some of our businesses, and it's been a little more, rigid in terms of what they're willing to do, based on what we ask for. So, and it's such a needed service, right? I mean, we'll get into more of this later, but I talk to a lot of people that are exploring business ownership. Sometimes it's for the first time. Sometimes, you know, they've already owned businesses and they're just looking to get into another business. But the bookkeeping and accounting piece is something that trips most people up. It terrifies most people. Unless they have a background in accounting, it's like this foreign, you know, I don't understand it, but I know it's important kind of concept. And people like will falter because they're like, if I get into business, I have no idea how to do the accounting. And I'm like, well, the good news is you don't need to, because there's companies out there like Chris's company, Top to Bottom, where they'll come in and handle it for you. And even if you do know how to do it, it's not going to be the best use of your time as an owner. So I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing, and really appreciate the help that you've given us in our businesses. But talk to us a little bit about how you got started. Where did your entrepreneurial journey start? And when you started that journey, did you kind of have a vision that you would build Top to Bottom into what it is today? And maybe before you answer that, tell us a little bit more about, you know, the size of your company, where you have offices, because you've done a really good job of scaling this into a pretty large operation.
Yeah, excellent. So we currently have two offices. Where we have an office in Wilmington, North Carolina. We have an office in Charlotte. We have clients in 32 different states around the country.
Nice.
We have 24 employees from Michigan, Texas, South Carolina. We have one employee in each of those states, and then everybody else resides in North Carolina. Yep. Between Charlotte and Wilmington. So a little bit about kind of where I came from and how we arrived at this moment. I grew up in a household, both parents working. They both ran bowling alleys, which very interesting story, but we probably don't have time for that. But I, you know, a bowling alley is a place with multiple different businesses inside of one operation.
Yeah,
I grew up getting off the bus, going into the bowling alley and spending my evenings there doing homework and bowling all the time. So I think that kind of started my brain ticking, like, why does this happen this way? And why does this have to go this way?
Yeah.
I spent 15 years in the restaurant retail business and management, and decided, you know, about 5 years left before I left, that I needed to find a way out, and I needed to have more time for my family. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the entrepreneurial business, you know, part of me took off. I got an opportunity with Accurate Payroll and Bookkeeping in Charlotte. I learned the trade. I learned, which I'd always been close to. I learned how to sell something, you know, how to take something to market. And we started our company in 2017.
Okay.
And then we acquired Accurate Payroll and Bookkeeping in 2019. So it's just kind of been this thing where, you know, the more we focus on our team and our people, the faster we grow. We've got a few hundred clients now that work with on a monthly basis.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I like the connection you made with, you know, growing up, spending time in the bowling alleys. And I never thought about it this way, but you're right. Bowling alleys do have, like, you know, usually have the actual bowling. You've got probably a concession stand or whatever you want to call it, an arcade, you know, pool tables. Hopefully there's a bar, because I'm not a good bowler. So I need at least a couple beers to ease the pain of all the gutter balls that I'm throwing. So yeah, you do, you got multiple businesses within that. So that kind of got your wheels turning, spending all the time in the bowling alleys, watching all these different businesses kind of, you know, work together to serve the same clients. That's pretty, pretty interesting. I didn't know that about your background. So you transitioned out of the restaurant and kind of retail space into, you know, more of this, I would call it professional services, right? Bookkeeping, accounting. So do you have an education or a background in accounting?
The background comes from my time in the restaurant business. You know, we had to do very thorough P&L and balance sheet reviews. We had to present to the other top people inside the companies that I worked for. Mm-hmm. I even, you know, for the few restaurant concepts that I did work for, you know, there's one specific one that's an upscale establishment that I started from the beginning. So being a part of that and then being able to spend, you know, 5 years with Accurate Payroll and Bookkeeping in learning the business is what brought, you know, like I said, is what brought me from an education level to where I'm at now.
Yeah. So you've got more of that real life training and experience versus the classroom experience.
That's right.
And I think that's where real learning happens in the first place. So, you know, I'm curious, you know, you said you thought for a while before actually transitioning, you know, out of the restaurant industry and then ultimately owning your own business. This was something that you were thinking about for a while. And, you know, I know for myself and our experiences, for literally every person I've ever worked with and helped them, you know, get into business for themselves, it's scary. It's a very scary thought, you know, especially if you're leaving a job where you have an employer that is paying you, you know, essentially, usually a guaranteed amount of money, at least. It's very scary to break ties with that and say, hey, I'm going to go out on my own and hopefully I'll be able to build this business and make the income that I need, you know, especially if you have a family. So, you know, I'm curious what your experience was in the process of making that transition. You know, I imagine there was some fear, some uncertainty, some doubt, what I like to call FUD. So assuming there was, how did you build the confidence that you needed to ultimately take the plunge?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I'm going to answer it two different ways. I'm going to say that by far the most scary thing I did was actually, you know, leaving the restaurant business to join this accounting firm. It was not only from a financial perspective, but also it was at a very important stage in my personal life with my wife. It was going from working 90 hours a week to a regular job. It's a culture shock. It is. And I didn't step into it as a business owner. I stepped into it as a bookkeeper. Right. I came to learn the trade. And so that was the biggest, not only that, but the financial, I mean, it was a huge financial adjustment to try to make it work and move to another part of the state that I've never lived in, you know, try to make all this work. So that was by far the scariest. The second piece of this is when I actually decided to go into business on my own, when I actually decided to split off from Accurate, because we first started Top to Bottom Business Solutions and both companies were still operating. I was growing this company was still going. What made that scary is that was the first time that I was 100% responsible for myself and my team.
Yep.
But what made me be able to put my head on my pillow at night was I knew that I was doing something good for other people. I was offering an affordable solution to keeping people in business and helping them scale. And as long as I stick true to that, as long as I live and breathe that every day, I'm going to be just fine. And the people that work for me and work with me, we're all going to be fine. And we're going to keep growing. And that's it. And it's we've been very blessed. And the success has gone far beyond anything I could have imagined to this point. And every day I check myself and I'm like, what has got me to here? Mm-hmm. And how do I never let this feeling stop helping? You know, how do I never let this go away?
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. I mean, I definitely believe what you're saying, right? I mean, the way I think about it is it doesn't matter what the business is, what the product or the service is that you're providing. If you lead and if you instill this mindset in your team, if you lead by always doing what's right for the client, what's in their best interest, and if you're truly adding value for them, everything else you want in business will follow. The revenue, the profits, the growth, all of that follows taking care of your clients. And that's easy to sit here and say on a podcast like this, you know, because it makes sense, right? It's kind of almost common sense. But in reality, in practice, it's not always the easiest thing. Like my wife asked me the other day, she's like, hey, we had a client in one of our businesses. She's wanting to cancel part of her order. And we take a deposit up front because we build custom products and we have a 72-hour cancellation policy. Well, she was like a week out. And I said, well, has her stuff gone into production yet? No. And I said, okay, so really it doesn't cost us anything if we let her cancel that part of the order, right? We're not on the hook for the materials until it goes into production. I said, I think the right thing to do for the client is let her cancel that part of the order. And so we did, you know, it's a hard thing to do, right? And I mean, that was a substantial amount of revenue on that particular job that just kind of vanished, but it was the right thing to do. And turned out after we went out to actually measure for it, not to get too into the weeds with this, but to make a long story short, because we agreed to do that for the client, she was very, very happy, very appreciative. When our guy went out to install, she actually decided to add another section of the house on that wasn't included in the original order. That amounted to more than what the part that she canceled was. And in addition to that, she told her neighbor about how good of an experience she had. And we're going out to see her neighbor, you know, in the next week or so, right? So it can be very hard and it can feel painful to do the right thing for your client in many cases. But it always pays off in the long run, even if you can't directly see the payoff or if it's not immediate.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a fantastic point. I mean, I think to that point, and I'm sure you see this in your business a lot. And if you're doing the right things, you grow without having to dump a lot of money into marketing.
People,
I get leads every week that I work through. Business owners, just like you and others, conversations. And the first thing they start off with is, I got your name from so-and-so who works with Robin or Hannah or Heather or one of our team members. It always connects back to them. And it's like just the best feeling in the world.
That's how we got connected.
Yep.
It was, I think it was our financial advisor that recommended I reach out to you. So yep. I'm sure somewhere you could dig up an email from me or a voicemail from me that was like, hey, my name's Wes. So-and-so gave me your name and said we should talk. And, yeah. You know, I definitely didn't like click on a pay-per-click ad and find you that way. Yep. So yeah, it's, you know, you take care of the people that you're serving and, you know, it spreads, it grows, it's organic. And to your point, it feels good, right? But so at what point after you started your bookkeeping career, did you have like kind of a light bulb moment where you were like, hey, this is cool, but I think I want to go build my own business? I mean, obviously you did, since you did do that, but like, when did that kind of light bulb moment happen? Or did you have a sense that you wanted to do that in the beginning and you just wanted to get kind of some training first? How did that all transpire?
Yeah, I would say that during the first couple of years when I was just doing bookkeeping work, I think it was like way off distant thought. When I started doing, and then I started doing business development in Wilmington. So I was doing bookkeeping work and I joined a BNI group. I started like getting to know people, starting to work my way and learn these conversations about how we can help people right off the bat, you know, listening to their problems, listening to their frustrations. Somewhere in that 3 year mark, that was when I decided like, not only do I want to do this for the rest of my life, but I want to eventually do it for myself. And the owner of Accurate Payroll and Bookkeeping, you know, he was a few years away from retirement. So in my mind, it was like, either I'm going to get this, I'm going to either find a way to buy this, or I need to start building my own thing because this is what I want to do. And that's the moment that it turned.
Wes here. You may have noticed there's a franchising theme to this podcast. And that's because franchising has had a massive impact on my life. And it's the very reason I'm walking my own path to freedom. In fact, one of my companies is a franchise consulting company where I work with people to help them understand franchising and determine if it might be a good fit for them. And if it is something they want to explore, then I help them navigate the entire investigative process and ultimately find a franchise business that's a great match for them. You know, the fact of the matter is there are thousands and thousands of franchise businesses out there today. And like anything, there are good ones and there are bad ones. Even out of the many, many great franchise companies, not every one of them would necessarily be a good fit for you. You know, buying a franchise is a huge decision and you don't want to wing it. I've helped many people buy franchise businesses over the years, and my wife and I have bought and owned franchises today. And we plan to keep investing in franchise businesses. I love helping people understand this process and help them find a business that's going to be a great fit for them and help them accomplish their goals and ultimately create that freedom in their life that we're all looking for. The best part of all of this is that my services are free to the people I work with. And while I do love to contribute to charities and other great causes, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm compensated by the franchise companies I work with when I introduce them to someone that ends up becoming one of their franchisees. It's very similar to real estate, but with franchises. I have the privilege of working with hundreds and hundreds of the best franchise companies out there across practically every industry. So I can be absolutely confident that when I recommend someone to look at a franchise company, I'm introducing them to a very credible and proven company with a solid business model and great support. So if you think you might be interested in learning more about franchising and seeing if it might be right for you, I'd love to speak with you. Get in touch with me by email at wes@path2freedom.com, path2frdm.com. And also check out my website at path2freedom.com, spelled the same way, where I've got a ton of resources, both franchise and non-franchise related, that will help you start down your own path to freedom. And of course, subscribe to and follow the podcast for more great advice about business ownership. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in speaking with me, please share this podcast with them. Thanks for listening to my shameless plug. Now let's drop back into the episode. I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts are around how you've been able to scale the way that you have. You know, I mean, you said you acquired another company that had been around for a while, so I'm sure that played a part in it. But I mean, as you said, you've got a big team, you've got clients in 32 different states, several hundred clients, you know, that you're doing business with monthly, right? So this is recurring revenue. So that amounts to a pretty substantial business. And, you know, I look at, you know, the bookkeeping space, and there's other businesses out there that have scaled, you know, the way that you have. But I feel like that space is littered with, you know, individuals or one or two people that provide bookkeeping services and they have like four or five clients. And that's kind of more of what you typically see in that space. So what would you say are some of the, the key things that have helped you, you know, scale this business? And I know that you're, you know, still in growth mode. So I know that, you know, where you are today is not anywhere close to where, you know, you'll end up with this business. But, you know, what are the keys to scalability in your opinion?
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I you know, to roll back to the past again, when I left the restaurant business, I was looking for work-life balance, quality of life, time with my family, not wearing 100 hats, yeah. You know, which a restaurant manager is expected to do every day of the week.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to work from home in the off hours, obviously, because of COVID, everybody's got to work from home. But I was trying to find a way away from that, to get out of that. And I found a business that allows me to not only do that for myself and my team, but also for the people that are the support system that I was trying to create when I got away from the restaurant business. And to talk about scale, you remember I said earlier that every day I wake up and I check myself. Yep. What am I doing? What's going on? Where am I at? I decided, so we acquired that other company in October of 19. I decided very early on last year, right when COVID started, that in order for us to grow, I had to stop doing what I was doing before. I had to check myself. I had to not be the most important person in my business. Mm-hmm. I had to surround myself with very talented people that could share in the vision, not just follow my vision, but that would sit at the table with me and be a part of creating it. I can't, and a small business owner can't be too big a part of their own business. It's in every business development book that you'll ever read, but it's true. It is. If you're sending out invoices, making Facebook posts, if then you're hiring people and then you're doing job estimates, and then you actually have to roll your sleeves up and do all the work, how far can you go? Like,
not very
far. Is that what you got into it for? That'd be my question.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, right? But I love how you talk about vision. And this is something that you and I have talked a lot about, you know, offline and conversations we've had. But, you know, having that vision and understanding that you alone can't make it become a reality, you know, assuming that vision involves scaling a company to any extent, right? I mean, there's people out there that have, you know, their little, you know, sole proprietorships or whatever you want to call it. And if that's what they want, great. If that gives them, you know, the quality of life that they want, there's nothing wrong with that. But assuming, you know, your goal is to build a business that's larger than just you, you need the vision first, but then to your point, you got to start surrounding yourself with like-minded people. You've got to share your vision with them, and then you get their input on the vision and you get everyone bought in. And then you start delegating. And I think, you know, what you said earlier is a very important point that I want to reiterate, because I know we've struggled with this in our businesses. I know a lot of other business owners struggle with this. It's letting go, right? It's trusting the people that you've brought onto your team to do what you brought them on to do, right? As a business owner, especially if you were really kind of building from the ground up, it's your baby, right? So it can be hard to let go. It can be hard to, you know, trust that someone else is going to do as good of a job, if not a better job than you. It's that old mentality, you know, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. So you got to find ways to get past that and to let go. But it's not always so easy. So is that something that you've struggled with over the years?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, as a business owner, you're not always going to make the right choices, right? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to hire the wrong people. You're going to have the responsibilities aligned incorrectly. That's truly what drives most business owners, is to be able to make those decisions. And what you can't do is handicap yourself because you make mistakes. Quite frankly, that just means that you just need to try something different, go a different route. You are in a position to shape shift in any direction that you want to go. Mm. So if door A doesn't work, go through door B. And the farther that I get away from operational control of my company, okay, the stronger my people become and the faster that we grow. And it's in every facet of my business. I mean, we hired a director of operations last year, which was a massive step for us.
Yeah.
And
she's great too.
She's been fantastic. And the people that we've brought on, we're just in such a better place because I'm not in the controller of all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things, man. It's like, in my experience, it's hard to kind of bite the bullet and do it. You know, it's something you need to do, like bring on a director of operations and, you know, get some stuff off of your plate. And, it's just hard to actually do it. But then once it's done, you're like, holy crap, why didn't I do that years ago? Like, why did I hold on for so long? You know, like in my consulting business, it's not a big operation. There's not as many moving parts and pieces. So I've always been able to manage everything fairly well, but I finally brought on like an admin person to help me out with just some of the stuff that's not the best use of my time, the type of stuff that I was sitting up till midnight, you know, finishing after the kids had gone to bed and stuff like that. And literally I just kicked the can down the road for months because I was like, how am I even gonna train this person to do the things they need to do? Like, how am I going to get organized to give her what she needs? And then I finally just banged it all out and spent like one afternoon training her. And now, man, she was handling stuff while I was on a plane last week. Like, it was just, I'm like, man, I should have done this a year ago. This was.
Yep. Part of that vision that you're hopefully sharing in with your team as you grow is you have to have a really honest conversation with yourself as a business owner. Where do I want this thing to end? What's the end point? Like, once you can define what the end point is, like where you want the train to stop for you, then you can work back and say, okay, for me to get to this place, what are my choices and options? Like, what do I need to do to scale to that level? It's like, you know, you watch these business owners all the time that are climbing the ladder and then fall down and hit their head and they come flying back down the ladder again. It's like, you need to have all the rungs in the ladder so you stop having missing spaces. And that's scale. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. I like that. So what's the vision for top to bottom?
The vision for top to bottom is to continue operational excellence and client engagement. I think we have a really good model here, and the numbers and the results to this point have proven it, that small business owners want to work directly with a person. And mm-hmm. That's what we offer them. And as long as I can continue to hire, train, develop fantastic people on my team, we'll continue to grow and look for other markets to become a part of. I don't necessarily think that that I can lay out what 3 years from now looks like because I'd be changing it every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I do know that I know what we're good at. I know how many clients a month we can take on and be stable. And we're just going to keep doing it and we're going to keep knocking it out of the park and go from there.
No, I like it. And, you know, I think that's a smart way to answer that question, right? Which is like, look, I could try to tell you what this looks like 3 years from now, but chances are it's going to change. And I think that's important. Cause I know this is something I've struggled with a little bit over the years. Like, I have this big long-term vision, but like how we're going to get there, that changes a little bit from time to time. And I think that's okay. You know, you got to give yourself some allowance for adjusting the course as long as you still kind of have that main vision that's kind of like your North Star, right? But, you know, to get there, the course is going to just have to change a little bit, right? I mean, COVID's a good example of that. We didn't see that coming. Force us all to change course in some form or fashion, right? So I think that's important. But, you know, tell us a little bit from your perspective, because we've talked a lot about scalability. We've talked about how in order to do that as a business owner, you have to delegate, you have to build a team. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have full-time employees, you know, to handle some of these things that you're delegating. That's where a company like Top to Bottom comes in. And as I've already mentioned, I know this is something that, for whatever reason, bookkeeping terrifies people that are considering getting into business for themselves. So, Chris, give the people out there that are terrified of bookkeeping a little bit of comfort and, you know, tell them why it's so valuable for a company like yours to come in and just take it off their plate.
Absolutely. I mean, whether it's a franchise operation, a single unit business that somebody has started on their own, or a larger company that's been, you know, bought up other companies, like irregardless of the scenario, successful business owners are, in most cases, they're using their financials to analyze where they've been and setting goals, even 3, 6, 9, 12 months down the road, 5 mm-hmm. years down the road for where they want to go.
Yep.
So, what we offer is starting at the lowest point. And I always use the Wizard of Oz reference, but it's to keeping a clients on the yellow brick road.
Yep.
So we'll take a small company that's like one or two people and they're trying to like set the chart a course forward for growth. And we will deliver them a monthly report stack. After we've finalized their reconciliations and we do a balance sheet review and make sure things are where they're supposed to be, we work for you. We work for the client. We're an outsourced employee basically for the client. Mm-hmm. And from there, from that kind of baseline, we can scale into taking over your sales tax filings. We can do bill pay for your vendors. We can handle AR and booking deposits and, you know, entering and getting your forecasts, your budgets into your accounting software. There's a whole lot of different ways it can grow. But in the most, you know, in the most basic form of what we do, it's delivering you by a set time every month, organized and detailed month end close on your books. We work with between you and your CPA to help yep. get the financials over at the end of the year, and we'll help keep you in the guardrails. And then as you grow and you want more from us, we will grow with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, I'll just kind of use my story. So we have a couple franchise businesses, as most of the listeners know, and you know, we have a business partner that kind of wears the CFO hat in our businesses, right? So he handles the books for those businesses. But then Kelly and I have LLCs outside of that, right? So that's what Top to Bottom handles for us. And until Chris and I connected and I hired him, I was trying to keep up with the QuickBooks for all of that myself. And number one, I'm not really trained on QuickBooks, so I didn't really know what I was doing in the first place. And number two, it was just one of those things that was like a to-do on my list that never got done, right? So, you know, I don't know if Chris was as directly involved in it, but the poor girl that had to, you know, reconcile our books when we first became a client, like I need to send her a gift card or something. Like it was like 6 months behind at least, because it was just one of those things. It wasn't a good use of my time, so it never got done. There was always something more urgent or more pressing to be done, so it just got backlogged, right? And I mean, I remember like this past year, it was great, right? Because I had financial statements to send our CPA when it was tax time. The year before that, I can remember staying up like all night trying to get some sort of a P&L that I could give our CPA. And it was literally just hours and hours and hours of playing catch up, going between bank statements and QuickBooks. And it was just a disaster. So let me be an example to those business owners or aspiring business owners out there. This is something that just let someone that knows what they're doing come in, take it off your plate. It's one of the best, uses of you know, money that you could do, because it's going to free you up to focus on things that'll move the needle in your business. And it's very affordable too. It's not, this is not something that, you know, for us comes anywhere close to breaking the bank.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that vote of confidence. I mean, we are by all accounts an extremely affordable option. We're not trying to be a roadblock in growth. Quite frankly, we prefer to get the client, and as they get better, as they get stronger, as they start to get focused, we're more focused because, you know, they're in business for themselves. They already, you know, have an idea. We can be there with you along the way. And a big a part of it as you would like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been great. And, you know, you mentioned franchising earlier, so I know you work with some franchise organizations, and, you know, everything I'm talking about here is very prevalent in franchising. And what I mean by that is a lot of franchisors actually have it written into their franchise agreement that franchisees are required to work with a bookkeeping company. Sometimes it may just be for year one. Sometimes it may be indefinitely, but it's because the franchisors know, like, hey, if you're a business owner, especially if you're a new business owner starting out trying to build a business, you dicking around on QuickBooks trying to figure it out is not a good use of your time. Like, go get to work building the business, let someone else come in and handle it. So it's not uncommon at all for franchisors to just make it a requirement, right? Because for whatever reason, a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this myself, business owners can be short-sighted, like, well, I could save a couple $100 a month here if I just do it myself. Yeah, well, if you didn't have that on your plate, you could probably go out and make a couple $1,000 a month with that extra time. So it's kind of like stepping over dollars to pick up nickels. So that's why franchisors just, it's very common now, require it. So I'm curious, you may not have a good answer for this or have really thought about it much, but you have clients that own franchise businesses, you have clients that don't own franchise businesses. Any difference in your eyes in terms of, I don't know the best way to even ask the question, but are there any benefits that you see with your franchise clients that maybe some of your non-franchise clients don't have, or even vice versa?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I think I can hit the nail on the head on this one. I'm going to say in most cases, because every business is different. The hundreds of business owners that I interact with on a regular basis and the new ones, whether they're solopreneurs, started on their own, went into the family business, bought a franchise, on their fifth franchise, like whatever they're doing. We learn lots of things that are going on. And I would say that on average, somebody who buys a franchise, you're already getting none of this stuff works in every case.
Yeah.
You're getting the marketing backing. Mm-hmm. You've already got something that has been proven to be successful maybe not in your market, but in a market.
Sure.
And you've, in most cases, you've got somebody who's willing to guide you along the way.
Yeah.
They are financially involved in your success, because sending you off into the wild without bookkeeping, without marketing, what's that going to do for their royalty fees? I mean, most of them are getting paid based on your revenue. If I say, all right, West, I want you to take this business and go with it, I'm only going to charge you 10 grand up front, but I'm not going to give you any support. I look forward to getting my royalties. And now Wes is out there swimming in the ocean looking for, you know, the life raft, because that's so a small business owner that starts their own business. A lot of them are very focused in the beginning, but a lot of them are like, I was a great carpenter, I'm going to start my own, you know, woodworking business. And they start their woodworking business and I'm like, I'm working twice as hard as I was before, and I'm making the same or less money, and I don't have the benefits from, I don't understand why I did this.
It's so common, man. It's and a lot of the people I connect with, you know, they're like, hey, I'm thinking I want to get into this type of business. Okay, what's got you thinking that? Well, I love it, right? It's a passion of mine. Okay, well, good. Well, have you thought about all the other things you're going to have to spend time on owning a business that does whatever the widget is, insert whatever? You know, in the carpenter example, probably doesn't enjoy selling, probably doesn't enjoy invoicing, probably doesn't enjoy marketing, right? He likes working with his hands and building stuff out of wood. Yep. Well, guess what? You might get to spend like 25% of your time doing that if you start your own carpentry business. Whereas you get into a business that's a better fit for you, now you probably have more free time to go do your woodworking or whatever it is that you're passionate about. So that's a very common thing that I run into where, and I get it, it's kind of counterintuitive, but a lot of people just start the whole process of deciding how they want to get into business and what type of business they want to get into the wrong way. And I do think you hit the nail on the head with, you know, some of the key differences between getting into a franchise business versus starting on your own. And, you know, you said it too, it all depends on, you know, are you getting in with the right type of franchise, right? Just because it's a franchise does not mean that that support and guidance is going to be as dialed in as it should be. There's thousands and thousands of franchise businesses out there. And just like anything else in life, there's good, there's bad, there's everything in between. But when it's done properly, you're spot on in terms of some of the advantages. But you know, also, because I know you have some relationships at the franchisor level where top to bottom is kind of the you know, required bookkeeping company that franchisees work with. And in my opinion, that's a good thing if I'm a franchisee versus the franchisor saying, hey, you're required to have a bookkeeper for your first year, but you can use whatever bookkeeper you want to use. Because a couple reasons. Number one is you're probably willing to give a better price at the franchisee level because the franchisor is saying, hey, you can handle this for every one of my franchisees. So you've got volume clients where you're managing the books for the same type of business for them, right? So as a franchisee, I'm probably going to have better pricing under that scenario versus if I just went one off and found a bookkeeping company to handle it for me. But there's also that's not even the biggest advantage in my opinion. There's also a lot of value in, I think, the cumulative data that can come from one company looking at the books for all the franchisees in one system, right? You can start to establish benchmarks, right? Because while, you know, every franchisee may have the same chart of accounts, right? Because it's the same business. It doesn't mean every franchisee performs at the same level, right? So, I mean, in the franchises we're a part of, the one we've owned the longest, like our P&L looks damn good. But I've also seen P&Ls from franchisees that look horrible, right? And there's like two or three line items where the main differences occur. Right. But if I'm a franchisee, I think it's very valuable for the franchisor to be able to say, hey, you know, you're looking pretty in line with kind of system averages in all of these areas, except for these two. Your cost of goods are a little bit higher than system average, or your marketing cost is a little bit higher than system average. That's great insight for me to have as a franchise owner, because now I know where I've got opportunity to improve and get better. And so there's all of this shared learning that can be leveraged when the franchisor is able to you know, work with one company, like top to bottom, and say, hey, help us identify some trends in all of these franchisees' financial statements that we can use to better the entire system. So I think that's a huge advantage. Some franchisees look at it as like, oh, well, they're encroaching on my rights. Like, they're telling me who I have to use. Well, I mean, as long as the company's getting it done, you know, if they're incompetent, then, you know, maybe talk to the franchisor about switching companies. Yeah. Like, for example, one of our franchises, it's always been in the agreement that the franchisor could ask for this, but they had never done it until like a year ago, where now they want us to submit our balance sheets. I don't even think our balance sheets. I think just our profit and loss statements at the end of every month.
Yep.
And I had franchisees calling me like, this is insane. Like, why? I'm like, why do you care? I mean, unless you're doing something shady, like, why do you care? Like, I don't care if they see how much money I'm making. Like, they want me to make as much money as possible. It's just like you explained, it's in their best interest. But again, if they are cumulatively looking at all of this data, they can leverage that to help every franchisee in the system. So I don't know. To me, that's hugely valuable when it's all done the right way.
Yeah. And to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, you step into a franchise role, like you make the decision instead of starting your own thing on the side to go into franchise, because again, there's a proven commodity here that you're after, proven in the sense that the business model works mm-hmm. somewhere yeah. and they've gone through and hit their head on things already, and they've found ways to resolve them so that we don't have to do it again. Like,
yep.
So why would you, like, teaching your kids, like, why would you not want me to coach you on what your sister has been hitting her head on for the last 5 years? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
absolutely.
It's taking, looking at your financials and reviewing them for past performance and equally for future planning. Imagine how much stronger it is when you can look at 100 franchises instead of just, well, here's what I'm doing. The best franchises out there, I'm sure, are having roundtables with their top performers, and they're working with their bottom performers on operational excellence, sales excellence, financial performance excellence. And isn't that what you wanted? Like, isn't that right. what you
exactly
what you were looking for in the first place? Our relationship with, in most cases, with our franchisors that we work with, when we sign a new client, our relationship's directly with you, the franchisee, right?
Yeah.
So we work for the franchisee, and, you know, to your point, you know, you jump into, you know, the sales tax one's usually always the one that kind of causes the problem right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, a franchisor that doesn't, you know, have that bookkeeping relationship, they send a new franchisee to a new state they're not even involved in.
Right.
Every state's got a different way.
They don't know
the
tax structure.
Yeah. And the franchisee, 3 months down the road, they get a notice and they're like, you owe $7,000 in penalties because you haven't filed your tax right. And then it's like, I didn't know I was supposed to do this. Well, the carpenter, of course you didn't know that. You've never had to deal with sales tax your whole life.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's all incredibly important to understand these types of things. So it doesn't, you know, take you by surprise. Cause I know franchisees that they didn't think through any of this, you know, before they got involved. And so, you know, hopefully that type of support is there. You know, when I'm coaching someone through the process of, you know, investigating a franchise business, you know, there's upfront fees that you have to pay to become a franchisee. And then there's ongoing fees that you're always going to pay as a franchisee. And to me, it's very formulaic to understand, you know, is it worth it or not? Right. I mean, you got to understand, what are you getting up front for the fees that you're paying? Like you've already said, you're getting access to a proven system. I like how you put it. You're, you know, avoiding bumping your head in places that the franchisor and other franchisees before you have bumped their head. I always say you're paying to avoid mistakes that the franchisor and the franchisees before you have already made, right?
Yeah.
That's valuable. But with the ongoing fees, it's a value exchange, right? I'm giving, you know, usually a percentage of revenue back to the franchisor. What am I getting in exchange for that, right? And so this type of shared learning that we're talking about, where the franchisor has systems in place to leverage data across the system. And this could take a lot of different forms, right? We're talking about, you know, bookkeeping and financial metrics, but, you know, this can apply in just about any other aspect of the business as well. But like, that's a huge part of really understanding the value that you can expect to get as a franchisee within a particular system, is What do they have in place to help a franchisee that's 6 months in look at their financial statements and see, are they on track or where are they off track? And then what can they do to get back on track? And if you don't have like other franchisees in the system to kind of compare it to, it's a lot harder to identify what are these areas of opportunity. So,
agreed.
Well, look, man, I know I've kept you for a while. This has been amazing. A lot of good advice here. Before we sign off, I want to let you tell people where they can learn more about Top to Bottom and connect with you. But before we do that, any parting words of wisdom, any advice, in particularly any advice for, you know, the small business owner out there that's, you know, gotten to a certain point, but they feel like they're a little bit stuck. Maybe they feel like they've plateaued and they're looking to jump to that next level. Any advice for them? And also any advice for the aspiring entrepreneur out there that wants to go get into business for themselves, but hasn't quite, you know, been able to take that first step yet?
Yeah, no, I'd say, you know, the first thing I'd say is, you know, you've made the right choice. Being an entrepreneur is, from a work perspective, it is by far the biggest success that I've ever had. And I'm having the most fun I've ever had. And I think the advice is don't ever get in your own way. Like you've got to continue to look for ways to grow. And it always starts with you. You're always going to be the clog in the process. So look at it from that perspective and find ways to get unique in your decisions about how you grow and expand. You can do anything. And we're told that from a very young age, and it's, you know, it happens. We're in the greatest place that we can possibly be.
That's powerful right there. I think that advice, don't get in your own way or get out of your own way. That's huge, man. Cause that's, you know, I can't think of a business owner I've talked to that wouldn't tell you that at one point in time, they were the bottleneck that kept their company from growing. And as soon as they recognized it and took the right actions, there was just explosive growth that followed. So I love that.
Yeah, for sure. Did you want me to go ahead and tell you about, where you can find us at?
Let me do the lightning round first. I always almost forget this. So these are the same four questions that I ask every guest that comes on the podcast. And kind of like we just talked about, now I've got all this cumulative data of how all these successful entrepreneurs answer these same four questions. So that's why I like to do it, but I do always almost forget about it. So we'll hit the lightning round. Then you can tell us where people can find you and connect with you. And then we'll put a bow on this. First question of the lightning round is simply, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received? And that could be in business or in life. And you can't use the piece of advice that you just gave.
Yeah. That's pretty simple. And the guy who gave me this advice is going to get a kick out of hearing this later on. But he told me back a few years ago when I first started my business, we were having a conversation. I have lots of people that I call mentors that I'm talking to all the time.
Yep.
He said to me, don't ever make a decision in your business that does not give you choices and options. And that's probably by far the most important advice that I've gotten.
Never make a decision in your business that doesn't leave you with choices and options.
Yep.
So never back yourself into a corner.
Nope. That's every decision should have other things that can come from it if it doesn't work out, because most of the time your first decision isn't the right one.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's really good advice. And I think it's well put. All right. Next question is, and I know you have kids like I have kids, so I'm definitely, curious your answer to this, but do you have any sort of a morning routine, anything you try to do every morning to prime yourself for a successful day?
Yep. Help the family get going. Coffee and review what I did the day before and, okay, you know, make sure that I have a good solid plan for that day.
Yeah. That's good. And coffee's key, you know, especially right there in the midst of helping the family get going. Well, I texted you yesterday. I was like, hey, man, can we push back 30 minutes? Like, we had this scheduled for like right as the nanny gets here. And I just knew that was, what did I say? I think I was like, I want to make sure I don't have like baby throw up on me when we start this or something. So, the coffee is key. What book are you reading right now?
The E-Myth Revisited. I try to read it every year, and it's something to live by.
Yeah. My listeners, my loyal listeners are probably sick of hearing about the E-Myth Revisited, because I bring it up all the time. I would say at least half of the guests, if not more, that I've had, you know, have referenced that book in some capacity. I send a copy of it to everyone I work with that goes on to get into business for themselves. I too try to read that book once a year, along with Think and Grow Rich and The Power of Habit. Those are the three books that I find very valuable to revisit on a somewhat regular basis. So if you haven't read The E-Myth Revisited yet, people, go read it. It's required reading if you want to own a business. All right, last question. What is your definition of freedom, and are you living it?
My definition of freedom is having a work-life balance, being able to put down the gloves at 5 o'clock, be free on the weekends to spend time with my family. And I'm living it. And I hope that everybody on my team, it's an organizational thing. And I hope that every one of them is living it as well.
Well, and look, here's the coolest thing about the business that you're in, is you're helping all of your clients at least get a step closer to living that too, right? Because you're taking a very critical, yet a very time consuming aspect of the business off the plate for them. So I think it's awesome. Just wanted to quickly acknowledge you. I'm very glad that you and I met and connected. I think we have a lot in common. I know I've learned a lot from talking with you and having lunch with you and all of that. So you're an inspiration for me. Keep doing what you're doing. But before I let you go, do tell people, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you? I will, quick warning, do not just Google top to bottom. You might get some weird stuff. Put the business solutions in there. Yeah. And that way you make sure it's a clean search result that comes up.
Yeah. You can always come to the website, www.t2bbsolutions.com. You can also give us a call at 704-895-6030. And the parting thing I would say is, I, more than anything, and I think Wes could attest to this, I love talking business. I do not charge to talk business. I'll have conversations with you, and we'll talk for a long time before we ever work together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a learning experience for me, and I thoroughly enjoy it. So don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah. No, Chris and I have had many, many, some of which have been lengthy conversations about business, and I always enjoy it and appreciate his insight. And, you know, like you said earlier, businesses of just about any size, right? I mean, you could be a newer business starting out that's, you know, only got, you know, 100,000 or so in revenue a year, and you could be up to a, you know, multi 7-figure business, and, you know, top to bottom can help you out. So we'll link the website, put the phone number, all that stuff in the show notes, make it easy for people to find you. But Chris, again, man, really appreciate the time. Thanks for all the information and advice that you shared with us today. And just appreciate you dropping in here on the Path to Freedom podcast.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Got it. That's a wrap. Thanks for joining me today, and be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you'll know when a new episode is released. You can also check me out on my website at www.path2frdm.com. And if you want more information about franchising or just want to say hello, feel free to contact me at wes@path2frdm.com. Thanks again. Now go drop in.